This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 13th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. Has the United States forgotten how to combat insurgency? What would victory in Iraq even mean if U.S. troops must stay there no matter what? And what have we learned from Iraq? Christopher Preble is Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute and co-author of the new policy analysis, Learning the Right Lessons from Iraq. It was released today. Al-Qaeda is in extraordinary crisis, if you believe news reports. This from the Times Online, last year's mass defection of ordinary Sunnis from Al-Qaeda to the U.S. military created panic, fear, and the unwillingness to fight. The terrorist group's security structure suffered total collapse. That is from one of Al-Qaeda's top leaders in Anbar province in October.
Right. I think Al-Qaeda in Iraq always had a tough mission. First of all, they were outsiders in Iraq, not all that different from the Americans in Iraq. And in fact, over a period of time, Al-Qaeda overreached considerably. Their violence turned off many of the people that they might have expected to be their natural allies, the Sunnis, particularly in the western provinces in Anbar and elsewhere. And in addition, increasingly, the Sunni leaders, the tribal leaders in that region, realized that Al-Qaeda did not really share their long-term goals. True, Al-Qaeda was also opposed to the United States, but that only got you so far. And so we saw, even before the surge was ramped up, we saw some tribes in Anbar and elsewhere turning against Al-Qaeda, and that process accelerated as the United States partnered with some of these tribal leaders quite explicitly, even to the extent of, you know, providing financial support. And that process, it appears, has accelerated over the last year. The process of some of these tribes moving away from Al-Qaeda has accelerated.
Does the U.S. understand insurgency?
Well, I think the U.S. military understands what some of the useful tactics, or the tactics that are likely to succeed. They understand that you need to be very discriminating in the use of force, that you need to focus on population protection just as much, if not more, than you focus on killing or capturing the enemy. But at the end of the day, counterinsurgency is about building up the credibility and strength of another government, of a central government, and eroding support for the insurgency. Insurgency, by definition, is about undermining the authority of the government or the occupation force, whichever the case may be. And the challenge for our military in terms of prosecuting counterinsurgency effectively is in having a reliable political partner, and that has been the problem in Iraq, and it's still the problem in Iraq to this day.
Some of the criticisms of the Bush administration's execution of the war in Iraq come from senators or representatives that voted for the authorization of force. They try to separate their own votes for the war from the results.
Right.
That is, they believe somehow, I voted for something good, and yet these things went wrong. Now, had they been done correctly, things would have gone right, and I'd still be supporting the war.
Right. The incompetence dodge. Good idea, poorly executed. What I find, and we talk about this in our paper, is that if that's the lesson that we take away from our experience in Iraq, then we really haven't learned anything at all, because many of the problems we encountered in Iraq were likely to occur. I'm thinking particularly about the post-conflict situation in terms of the ethnic strife, the sectarianism inside of Iraq, the hostility and resistance towards the United States. All of those things were predictable and predicted prior to the war. And when you look at the members of Congress who voted to authorize the use of force back in October of 2002, they were focused exclusively or primarily on the threat on Saddam Hussein, on Saddam's army. So while the victory, such as it were, was accomplished over Saddam's army quite quickly, the real measure of a military campaign is the long-term success, and I think it was much, much harder to accomplish even more modest objectives than the Bush administration set out in Iraq. As I said before, you are dependent upon an Iraqi government that commands the authority and respect of the vast majority of people in Iraq, and we still do not have such a government.
To what extent is the improved situation in Iraq, the crisis of Al-Qaeda as reported by various media outlets, and the now paused troop level decline.
Right.
How much of that is due to the change in strategy that occurred in January of 07?
Well, again, I think that the U.S. military, particularly the Army and Marine Corps, that are engaged in counterinsurgency operations every day, they understand the importance of, like I've said, you know, force of protecting the population, of trying to bring along the credible local partner, whether that's a tribal council, whether that's a local militia or a local police force, or ideally the central government. You need a credible local partner to cooperate with you in establishing security and protecting the population and in hunting down the bad guys. And in certain places, we have that local partner. But again, the purpose of the surge was to make a space for national reconciliation, nationwide reconciliation that would allow the central government to exert its authority throughout the entire country. That does not exist to this day, and I think that is the ultimate challenge. So while we say, and I think it is generally true, that the military understands what needs to be done on their end to avoid some of the mistakes that were made in the early stages of the war, not treating the insurgent enemy as we would treat a traditional enemy in the field, and that has all been to the good, but our military can only do so much. They can only make the space or make establish a kind of baseline of security, but the heavy lifting ultimately must be done by the Iraqis, or, you know, we encountered similar things back with respect to Vietnam. The Vietnamese government in South Vietnam was particularly unpopular, and so there was only so much that our military could do to boost their credibility. At the end of the day, the difficult choices have to be made by the government that we're working with.
Christopher Preble is Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute and co-author of the new foreign policy analysis, Learning the Right Lessons from Iraq. It's available for download at our website, cato.org.